One of the most important things Jesus did as our high priest was to atone for our sins. Scripture tells us that without Jesus' atoning sacrifice, we would still be dead in our sins and without hope in the world. But exactly how did his death work to our benefit? How did Christ's death atone for sin?
Jesus Christ atoned for sin in his saving death. And this truth is manifold and extraordinarily rich. There are two passages in Romans where several ingredients of the atonement are brought together. First, in Romans 3, verses 23 to 25, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And then in Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, since we have now been justified by Christ's blood, much more shall we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. One of the themes of the atonement there is redemption. That means liberation from bondage by the payment of a price. We are freed from bondage to sin and death by the precious blood of Christ. That's the cost of our redemption. The second truth is in the word propitiation, which is a complex truth. The blood of Jesus covers our sins. And so when the wrath of God that's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness sees the blood of Christ covering our sin, it is averted, it is turned away. But Jesus Christ himself bears the weight of that wrath. He experiences the judgment of God. So in the language of Isaiah 53 and verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then justification, which stands at the very heart of Paul's gospel. The language of the law court. The righteous judge declares the sinner not guilty. Paul says in Romans 4, God justifies the ungodly. And he does that because the righteous one has stood in our place. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then reconciliation, the language of the battlefield. We had rebelled against God, we were his enemies, and consequently we were under his wrath. Reconciliation establishes peace where there was conflict. And the extraordinary thing about this is that the offended party and the mightier party is the one who takes the initiative to be reconciled with his sinful and rebellious creatures.
One of the crucial issues that we wrestle with in terms of the cross is trying to have what we call a theology of the cross. And a theology of the cross seeks to answer the question, how does this work? What does this work achieve? How, you know, what is it about? What is it accomplishing for us? How does the atonement work in that way? And that's a crucial question that needs to be addressed. The scripture provides an answer to that in a whole set of ways, but at the heart of its answer in terms of Christ's work on the cross is our redemption, and it's our reconciliation, and it's our justification, and it's the victory over the powers. At the heart of it is that Christ's work on the cross provides substitution for us as our representative, so that Christ comes as the God-man. He is the one who in his manness represents us, is the last Adam in that way, who comes to undo the work of the first man. He comes as a covenant head. He comes as the head of his people, who then, as our representative, goes to the cross for us. He does so as our substitute, by standing in our place. We deserve nothing less than God's wrath upon us. The wages of sin is death. Christ then goes and takes our, what we say, our penalty. Often we speak of that in terms of penal substitution, where he goes, takes our penalty to himself, lives our life, dies our death, is raised for our justification, and as our substitute, he then, because he is the God-man, takes God's very requirements to himself. In fact, at the heart of the problem of forgiveness is how can we be reconciled, declared just before a holy God? In Christ, he is not just a third party. He's not just another man. He is the God-man, the second person of the Godhead, who takes God's own righteous requirements to himself, who stands in our place, who goes as our representative, who dies in our behalf, so that in him bearing our sin, in him satisfying his own righteous requirements, we who then believe in him are then forgiven, because he stands for us. He stands as our covenant head. All that he has achieved in his death, his resurrection that gloriously demonstrates that, then is applied to us, so that we die with him, we're raised with him, our debt has been removed, and we then can stand by faith justified before the Father.
Now this salvation, Jesus Christ saving us from our sin, is expressed in the Bible with different terms. For example, the Bible tells us that God has designed Jesus to be a propitiation for our sins. This means that a righteous God, a holy God, is angry at us and our sins. And what Jesus did on the cross by dying, by shedding his blood for us, is that he laid aside, he set aside God the Father's anger, and thus God's problem, which he should have, a problem of anger with us, is now solved. And so the Bible talks about the propitiation that Jesus Christ is for us. The Bible also talks about the atonement or the expiation. You and I have a sin problem. The sin problem we have is that we have a bad record. We've done bad things. We have a bad heart. We have a bad master, which is either ourselves or the devil. Now, what Jesus did was to set things right between us and God. He solved our sin problem, so now God receives us, he is at peace with us, and we are at peace with God. Which leads us to another word that the Bible uses, and that's the word peace or reconciliation. God is now at peace with us, and secondarily, we are at peace with God because of the Lord Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. Finally, the Bible uses the term ransom. We are like slaves in a market where Jesus came, or God came and paid the price, which is the blood of Jesus, to set us free so that now we no longer belong to the slave master, but we now belong to God. So Jesus is our propitiation. He set aside the Father's anger. Jesus is our atonement. He solved our sin problem. Jesus is our reconciliation. He brought us peace with God, or rather he brought God to be at peace with us. And that Jesus is that ransom price paid for our sin.